department heads and elected officials. Terry Johnson.
Good morning. We're rolling right along with the primary election. We had quite a few people show up already, which is surprising, yesterday. And asking for requests and everything else, so we're just trying to get things done and still working on those poll worker things, because I need to get those cards mailed out, give everybody enough time to prepare, so.
How many are you short?
I've got a list. I'm still trying to get one last chair position filled. That's my most important position to get filled.
Yeah.
And then kind of fill everybody else in, so. Just trying to find some of those Republicans to fill in some of those locations.
We're scarce.
Yeah, evidently you are when it comes to elections, so.
Well, that's a good deal. Do those chairs have to be from that district?
No.
Maybe I could go certainly from Washington Town, yeah.
Yep.
Thank you. Mike Johnstone, County Sheriff.
Good morning, Jim. I don't really have anything to share.
Okay, thank you. That's good news sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Business as usual.
Rodney, the maintenance department for the.
Good morning. We have contractors in the process of repainting the female GP area out in jail. They started last Monday. They should be done here towards the end of the week. Making pretty good progress. Things are going pretty smooth. One of the other things, wanted you guys to keep in mind the annual contracts for the residential care facility and crisis center will be coming up at the end of June with Hope Haven. So I've been in contact with Bob. I know last year there was some interest in maybe doing some different services, but I think right now for the funding and the plans is just to keep it the same as they have in previous years, so. I'd emailed him and it sounds like they're interested in keeping everything the same, so. That's kind of where they're at on that, to give you guys a little bit of time to think about it and so we can get new agreements. Wrote up before the end of June, so.
I think that's a good idea to keep the same myself.
How do Hope Haven has talked about starting the dual diagnosis facility. That's something I've done, the dual diagnosis of mental health and substance abuse. And the state laws have changed a little bit, and that's not likely to happen, so I think it'll probably just stay the way it is. So I would be in favor of leaving the contract just the way it is.
Leave it to the state to change things.
Well, not they can change. We can look at it again next year. they meet every year.
Thanks, Rodney.
Yep.
Christopher Miller, how's the county health department?
Good morning. We're just keeping busy. I don't really have anything new to report.
Okay, thank you. Angie Vaughn, the safety department for the county.
Good morning. I don't really have anything new to report either.
Amy, how's the county attorney's office?
Good morning. We're good. We're busy. It's May, so it's quarter review month. So we're pretty busy with the assessor and the board of review right now.
That's all I have to report as well.
Thank you. Doug, how's the jail doing?
The jail's doing okay. Population's high, still 94 this morning. But plugging away, got a lot of people in Lee County, a couple in Wawiza.
Yeah. I seen yesterday over the KVR had that log on there that you picked three of them up, three of that 94 yesterday, so I had to do it.
And there are more than three.
Yeah. Mr. Hightower, you missed a couple.
Yeah. We had 10 arrested yesterday.
Wow.
Not all them people stay, but
yep.
The majority of them do.
They say Monday's a slow day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chief Deputy White, do you have anything to add to the sheriff?
No, I think he covered it all.
Colin, how's the IT department going?
Nothing real too new to report right now. We'll be a little short staffed here the next couple days because a couple of us are going up for some software training tomorrow and Thursday, but other than that, nothing new.
Okay. Good. Chris Lee, Conservation.
Good morning. Had a great weekend with the Dragon Boats out of Big Hollow. It's the first time they've been out there. Couldn't have asked for nicer weather. Races went great. The park was packed. Parking was a bit of a nightmare. Otherwise, it went off without a hitch. I think everybody had fun. The feedback I got was that they really enjoyed having it there. So we're excited to have them this coming weekend. We're getting ready for our annual youth jamboree. So we'll have another 1,000 people in the park over the weekend, fishing, boating, canoeing, and shooting. Pretty much everything outdoors that Big Hollow has to offer. We'll have it all going on Saturday, 9 till 2. And so basically spending this whole week getting ready for that.
Chris, I was out there Sunday morning. My granddaughter was in that. I'll have to say your staff was real pleasant to people.
Thank you.
So you need to pass that on to them because they helped them park. And it was a nightmare for them parking and everything.
Yeah, we're a bit understaffed. We're going to fix that for next year. We're going to get some more staff and volunteers to help with the parking because it's a lot of area to cover for just a couple people.
They did an excellent job.
Yep. Well, thank you. Yeah. Sure, pass that along.
Mr. Carter, how's secondary roads?
Doing all right. Just a couple things to mention to you. And we might take a look at it here this afternoon if you have time. But to the west of the highway, there's some haul route roads out on the gravels for the DOT project. If things hold together, we have a contractor coming tomorrow to start in on the dust control program. And they won't be able to get a lot, but they're going to try to get those haul routes done tomorrow. So I sent a letter out to landowners and let them know, so they're aware of that. So that's coming along. They have not started hauling dirt yet, as far as out of the quarry. That's been kind of a week by week thing. They just kind of keep pushing it back. A new closure coming up the end of this week. Iowa City Road at the intersection with 61 is going to go closed. And they anticipate 3 weeks on that, then they'll open that back up. And of course, there'll be future closures, but they are going to get it opened back up for traffic temporarily. Stony Hollow east of Highway 61 is closed for a box culvert being constructed. So that is closed as we speak. And we are out for bid for a asphalt project on Sperry Road. So that's out there. And yesterday we had a contractor treat three more miles of Danville Road. Like I had mentioned to you guys before about the last year we did that kind of surface treatment, sealant treatment kind of, what I'd kind of describe it as at least. We had 3 more miles done yesterday. So I'm working on pavement markings. We're gonna go mark the center line with some reflective stuff for nighttime, but try to get some new pavement markings out there sometime in the next 2 or 3 weeks, depending on the schedules of contractors and such. So, otherwise the guys are working on projects.
Okay, thank you. Southeastern Regional Planning, is that you today, Zach?
Sure, it's been a busy couple weeks. We've got 3 subdivisions on the agenda for today, so just kind of keeping track of those and staying on top of them. And then we've had, I guess, a decent other amount of other inquiries and questions and a couple other subdivisions going, so it's been busy. But nothing other than that.
Okay, thank you. Ken, I see you're back there. How's the CDS of the Southeast Iowa Link going?
Yes, going good. This morning our phones went out, our internet went out, and our printers went out. So I made a quick call to Colin, and he came over and fixed everything. So, and he even beat me back to the courthouse. So I appreciate IT and their quick response when things go wrong, you know. And we're also preparing for a recovery center in our building at Community Services. And the middle of May, we told them they could start moving furniture in and things like that. And then by July 1st, they'll start the service for the clients. And so I appreciate maintenance coming out and making sure the lights work, and we had some broken tiles and things like that that they've fixed, and carpeting that was rolling and would be hard to, you know, could trip, be a trip hazard. They got that fixed, so I think we're really about ready to start moving furniture in for that recovery center. So that's exciting. Yeah, I think a lot of people with mental health needs will gain a lot from that recovery center, a place to go and socialize with their peers and have some programming too. It'll all be good. So that's about it for now.
Thank you. Did I miss anybody? Correspondence, seeing no correspondence. We have public input station number one. Anybody from the public have anything to say? Stand up, name and address. Seeing nobody rise, we shall move on to the discussion and vote. Payroll plan reimbursements in the amount of $1,724.46.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. We have a transition, Des Moines County presentation by Mr. Craig Fenton, the founder.
Yep.
You?
Yep, me.
Yep.
Morning. Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm Craig Fenton. I'm the founder and of Transitions DMC. We've been around since January 22nd, 2016. We are a not-for-profit corporation, and basically I founded the program along with several others because we saw a lot of homelessness going on in the community that needed addressed, and we were just trying to figure out a way to find a way for private people to come in and kind of wrap around the services that you provide and maybe help people along a little bit faster. We started about the same time as Bridges Out of Poverty. In fact, Vern Reed and I were originally partners together, and then his group wanted to go more of the educational route. I felt that the need for housing was going to be paramount, and so I kind of branched off that way. And since that time, we've been doing, providing some hotels, some rent assistance, and then we also do give out clothes and food, some emergency food. We're not a pantry. Again, not trying to duplicate any services in Des Moines County, just trying to enhance the ones that are already here. So our goal is to help fill in, like I said, fill in those gaps that eventually will happen in all of those services. We've been involved with the regional boards. We coordinate with most of them and have been involved in the homeless board itself. We also run several other programs. Statistics on homelessness in Des Moines County, I'm not sure what you folks know about those, but from our estimation, they're grossly underreported. If you look at the federal maps and the state maps, you'll see certain areas of the state have 1,000 people or several thousand people, and then when you get into the rural areas like Des Moines County, you'll see very few reported. We actually have been reporting the last 3 years during the annual day of reporting, which is in January. We estimated this year 36 people, we knew 36 people this year were on the streets in Des Moines County. We also knew that there were other people out there that were homeless or near homeless, but we were not unable to count them. So they were not seeking services, and we aren't really set up to go out and look for them yet. But that would be a long-term goal. Our goal long-term is to, of course, have a homeless shelter, which we've started at 515 South Main Street. That facility will have 16 beds to start off with. Like I said, we give out mattresses, furniture, household items, clothing, food, all that at that location now. And people come in and they're very grateful to have that opportunity. Slumberland and several of the other furniture stores in town are bringing us their clean mattresses, so that they're taking on disposal. And since we aren't selling them, we can give them, people can come in and take them. And the number of people in Des Moines County that don't even have a mattress for their bedroom is fairly significant. I estimate we've probably given out over $245,000 in furniture in the 2 years we've been around. Part of the reason I know how much that is because the local hotels renovated themselves a couple years ago, and we got a significant amount of that furniture, and so we kind of know, you know, what the value of that furniture was coming out. It's chairs and tables and sleeper sofas and all sorts of things like that that we were able to give back out to the community. The other statistic in Des Moines County that is underreported or maybe perhaps unknown to most is that there are between 20 and 30 high school and middle school age children that do not know where they're going every afternoon when they leave school, or at least the school doesn't know where they're going. They have no physical address. We know that these kids are being trafficked. We know they're in gangs. We also know that some of them are doing remarkably well because Vermarie and others are mentoring them in being able to move on with their lives, stay in school, things like that. But a significant number of those kids are being trafficked. I did try to get some funds from the DCAT board this year to perhaps put some of those kids up. And we didn't quite meet the right grant criteria, so no harm, no foul, but again, it's a learning curve for us to be able to figure out how to get those words exactly right so that people will fund us. As I said, we will have 16 beds here. Those will be in this area here. We have offices here. There'll be a day room for people to be in and out of heat and cold. We'll have coffee, some light snacks, things like that. Again, not gonna serve a noon meal. Salvation Army does that, does it very well. They've actually said, when we open our facility, don't serve a noon meal, just have them come to us, and that's what we plan on doing. We do have several churches and organizations talking about perhaps coming in and doing an evening meal when we're up and running. So we're gonna be able to do that. We have laundry facilities, bathrooms, and the laundry facilities will not be like a laundromat, but if somebody is transient in town or in other ways out on the street, they'll be allowed to come in, get a change of clothes, wash their clothes, and go ahead and use those facilities. Same with the showers, we're going to be able to provide those for people that need them. Generally estimated that a single homeless person on the street, and this is from the Des Moines Register last year when they did an expose in Des Moines, costs municipalities, cities, counties, state, hospitals, and local services about $50,000 a year each. Now, if that's true in Des Moines County, I don't know. I would say it'd be less than that, but it is still a significant cost and drain on the system. Obviously, 94 people in the county jail today is a significant, you know, strain on the system. And I know that some of those people, we've worked with them in the past, and we've tried to get them off the streets. We just didn't have a facility that we could house them at in a regular and sustained manner. Last Friday, I had a lady call me. She was going to get kicked out of her house. The house had termites. She had six kids, no place to go. So again, trying our best to serve people that we come across. We probably get a call a day for some sort of housing. Wellington Homeless Shelter does a great job. They're generally full most of the time. So 14 beds in the community of this size is not quite enough. And the people that we serve, they tend to have criminal records, things like that, that perhaps wouldn't be able to go into that facility. So if we get the right combination going, this facility itself might just be for children or for the teenagers. Because if I have 16 beds and I have 16 kids, that's my priority. That's going to be our priority. I have a couple people that I'd like to introduce you to today. They're out in the hall. Could you ask Jacob and Jolene to come in? They're early clients of ours, and I'd just like to have you, them tell a little bit about you when they came to us. Again, family, large family, no place to go. They were living in a mobile home on one of the curbs here in Burlington, outside of their mother's house, and you know, at this point we have them in a stable housing environment, but every day, because of he works a minimum wage job and she has that many children, she has a hard time, you know, keeping. And so our goal is to work with Bridges Out of Poverty to help people. And Jacob and Joe, are they not there?
I don't see them.
Okay. Well, that about par for the course. They did go through Bridges Out of Poverty, and so we have a lot of extra services in the community through Impact in that that are able to be brought bear. I have here a letter from Mona Ash at the Impact facility, our place in Bridges Out of Poverty, and she basically outlines the same thing that I'm outlining, and that is Des Moines County has a homeless problem. It's probably not one of the more visible problems in the county, but it exists, and every once in a while it'll peek up because there'll be somebody camped down here on the river or something like that, but for the most part, we don't see those people. They sleep up underneath the causeways and in abandoned houses in Burlington. You want to say anything? No? Okay. So, what we're here today to talk about is a couple of things. One, state of Iowa, federal government does have housing grants available for homeless shelters. They have gone into a regionalized system where these monies are being doled out into regional groups. Right now, Muscatine basically is the main coordinator for our area. That was just established here in the last 6 months or so. Muscatine, of course, has a homeless shelter and is expanding their homeless services to where they're doing exactly what we're talking about doing, getting houses, fixing them up, selling them back out to people at reasonable prices. You know, we can take a rehab, put all the money into it, put it back out to somebody on a contract, and their rent for the month, or their mortgage payment, if you will be $450. So, you know, compared to $600, $700, $800. And if you're a family like the Bonds are, getting into a house that fits that many kids, you're probably talking about $1,000 a month. So there are lots of ways that we can bring that forth. I just don't want to trip over Des Moines County or other people that are trying to do the same thing that we're talking about doing with the homeless funds. I'd rather work with the people that are doing this work in our area, if they exist. I don't know that they do, but I'd like the supervisors, of course, and the county to support us if we go before for those funds. Help us with grant writing. Southeast Iowa Regional Planning brought the most recent round to me, and we are looking at writing those grants. But again, is there somebody else in the county that we're aware of that's doing anything on homelessness, or are the services more of the mental health and that sort of thing?
I believe the gentleman back in the black shirt,
yep,
would be general assistance and the Veterans Affairs.
Okay.
Takes care of a number of that. The rent payments take care of utility payments, food pantry, that sort of thing.
Community Action in town also has some.
Yeah.
Yeah. Assistance, like you mentioned, Salvation Army helps, right, some people. Somebody have a fire or something in their home, maybe they could get a few days in a hotel. And the Red Cross would help somebody in certain situations like that.
But you're right, the homeless shelter is full a lot of the time. You know, we make referrals to the homeless shelter in Burlington, and we were so excited to hear that Transitions DMC was coming to this area, because I think there's a huge need, that's for sure, so.
Okay, so again, that's the type of, I wanted to make sure you have the information. We are not-for-profit, there's a lot of things we can use, trucks, mowers, things like that. If you're cycling things out of your inventory and it's legal, you know, we would certainly be willing to take some of those things and use them for the betterment of the community. If it's not legal, then that's the way it is. We would like to ask, you know, the cities and the counties for a financial contribution, a dollar per citizen, maybe, would be a reasonable start. Not looking to become a budget item. Again, we started this as a private not-for-profit, or not private not-for-profit, public not-for-profit, but the goal is not to go deep into relying on budgets that are already stretched. You know, we understand those monies aren't available. We also understand that the local churches, community agencies, and just some people like myself are more than willing to step up and do some of this work for you. But occasionally, we probably will come before this board and ask for a few dollars here and there. And hopefully, you'll be willing to do that for us. Again, like I said, I'm gonna work with Southeast Iowa Regional Planning on the grants and that. Questions?
If you're going to come to the board and ask for money, that is a budget item, and if you wanted to, it would be in January, first month of the year.
Okay.
Usually people, they come to a budget hearings.
Okay.
So if you were going to, you could ask Terry or the budget director to get on that list.
Okay. That'll work. Other questions about Transitions?
In this day and age, when we hear everybody talk about 4% unemployment, why are there not more jobs for them?
I think the 94 inmates in the county facility kind of explained some of that. And some of it is just they don't understand their situation. Bridges Out of Poverty is doing a heck of a job of getting folks in that are in this niche and talking to them about what's going on with them, why it's doing it, finding them mentors, finding them jobs. But, you know, those old habits are hard to break, and I'm not going to be standing here telling you that I have every answer to this question. I've hired people, you know, down at Transitions early on, and you know, basically taking all comers, and what I found out was that 3 days from now they won't show up. So, you know, that's not, but again, that doesn't mean that they go away. And so our philosophy is a little bit different than most, from the standpoint that they'll show back up. So we'll take them back and we'll try to help them out again. Now they take a bunch of plates home and then 3 days later come back and try to get more plates. No, we don't have more plates for them, but or another couch or more beds or things like that. But we do not really tell people they can't ever come back. Now, early on, like I said, we did some hiring of people, and we aren't doing that anymore. The budget doesn't allow for it. I'm basically one of two people that were down there most of the time. I'm not the founder, volunteer, don't take a salary, never will take a salary. I have a lady that works with me who is on a grant through ABLE Network. So she gets paid through them, and then we run the rest on volunteers.
I see on your plan you've got a chapel there.
Yep.
Do you utilize that? Do you have a minister or somebody come in, or have you got a chaplain on board?
We have several chaplains on board, actually, and again, this is not done, so chapel isn't finished yet. The chapel will also double as a community room. Basically, it's a meeting room. It'll be able to do AA meetings and NA meetings and things like that in there. We have mental health counselors that are willing to come in and meet with people on site to get them into the system. We have a number of other people, and that room will also house a couple of computers for job searches and things like that. So if kids are in there, that'll be a quiet room for study at night. You'll see that the small room down here in the corner is the TV room, and you know, basic cables probably or over the years, all that's going to be in there. It's not going to be a place where people are going to gather a lot. We also know that there are funds available for basically daycare. Also, it's not really the right term. People can come in to and for heat, cool, and just be inside the facility. Of course, we'll have to watch the fire codes, but we will allow people to come in off the streets when they're here. You know, if there's somebody here that's transitioning through, and you know, we allow them to stay there for until the bus or train or whatever that is happens to be. We expect that the most of the cities and the county law enforcement will bring people to us at night rather than take them to the jail, we hope, if that's possible. If they're not otherwise needing to be in the jail, but
sounds like it's been pretty successful getting some help in the community, the furniture stores, hotels, Salvation Army,
yeah,
churches.
And if it requires us to be a budget item, I'll do that. But like I said, I really don't see a desire on the part of our agency to be an annual appropriation is basically what I'm saying. But
I understand the that's when,
yeah,
if we the budget money we're going to spend,
yeah,
and there's a few don't people show up looking for donations. We don't fund the other homeless shelter. Matter of fact, there aren't very many non-mandated services we do fund. I can only speak for myself, but the way the board's usually been is if that we probably weren't elected to donate money.
No.
We collect taxes to perform mandated services, but it really isn't up to us to pick one particular, maybe not one particular cause over another.
Well, again,
but you're welcome to come, and I'm not saying to a budget hearing. In the past, if somebody shows up and they want something during the year, that hasn't, I don't believe we've done that much since I've been here.
I think your best bet is to work with Ken back there.
Okay.
That really is our source.
Okay. And again, I watch the paper and your minutes and that, and so if there's something that comes up that kind of fits down our niche like it does for Hope Haven or something like that, we might probably put together a proposal for you, because that would be, I know, an appropriate way to come in and ask for the funds, and our program is set up to help the people in Devon County. So you know, I just am going to be watching, but I want you to be very aware of the service.
Appreciate that.
What bothers me is what you said about the kids. The kids, you know, do they know there's other sources like Community Action to help these children? And you know, there's other agencies out there. Have you
Every time I get one, I refer them on, yeah.
On to like Community Action, someplace like that?
I'm not familiar with the Community Action program for teens. What do you, you have something specific in mind?
They help the families.
Help families, yeah.
They can help the families.
No, I've been to the DCAP. I've been to the DCAP boards and I'm familiar with those programs.
Young House is another one. I mean, I help mostly people with disabilities, but, which isn't the whole homeless shelter.
Right.
Audience that you have, but, I know Young House helps a lot of kids too.
But at this point in time around the state of Iowa City just built a new homeless shelter. Muscatine's in the process of expanding. And we're gonna be going for those funds as well. And so just to kind of be aware that we're out there and we're, you know, trying to work on this program for you guys as well as the county.
Fix the drug trade, you'll fix a lot of it.
Yep, it does.
That's what those 94 guys are, some of them.
Some of them, correct. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thanks,
Greg, we appreciate it.
And good luck with you.
Thank you.
Moving on, we have a resolution for the final plat of the Gillette Farm subdivision. Be you, Zach?
Yes, all right, we've got a subdivision, a minor subdivision that actually is part, most of it's in the city of Burlington and then a part of it's in Union Township. It's about a 3.45 acre site and a total about 0.6 acres is actually what's in Des Moines County. We've got lot one, which is in the county, currently has a single family home and lot two has a barn and two sheds. Essentially, it's a family trust that's subdivided and selling the lots. And we have had this out for review to department heads and really only had one comment back from the county health department. Had to do with the septic system, but I think, actually I should say I think, we've got an agreement between the subdivider and whoever they're selling it to in their contract language to get the system, septic system inspected and make sure that any issues there get taken care of. Basically what happened is there's two houses on the properties, but there's only one record of one septic system. So Jim Hotley had figured out something with the family to make sure that gets inspected during the sale, and if there's any issues that it gets remedied. So that's inside the contract language for the sale. Otherwise, it went to all the department heads and we have all the sign-offs, and then it was also went to the city of Burlington since it's partly in their jurisdiction and in the 2 mile, and they have approved subdivision as of April 16th. So I guess we would recommend approval.
Motion to approve.
Before I second that, or maybe I second it and then ask, if those sewers,
the septic
you're
system.
Satisfied that those are, that's going to be handled, or?
Yeah, I talked to Jim this morning just to clarify, because I wasn't sure. He's got something in the contract between the current owner and whoever's buying it that they have to get it inspected, and if it doesn't meet whatever the requirement is, that they would have to get it fixed.
Get
a new system in place.
What do they have? What
it's
what
in that,
if they don't do it?
Well, state law governs,
yeah,
septic, and our subdivision code can't trump that. I run into this with other stuff.
Yeah, I talked to Jim. He seems satisfied with what's
okay
in there. And
second.
Terry.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carey.
Yes. Zach, we're going to have to sign these after the meeting.
Yeah, that's fine.
We have three on the agenda, and that one is ready to be recorded today. So that one would be the priority.
Yeah, we can do that one. This one first after the meeting.
Pretty sure.
You can do it after the meeting, but just do that one first.
Okay, we'll do that one first. Okay, now we have the resolution for the final plat on the Heron Bluff subdivision.
This one
development is located, as the name suggests, in Huron Township. It's near the intersection of DMC Highway 99 and 220th Street. It's basic, and also as the name suggests, it's basically positioned on the bluff there by that intersection on the west side of Highway 99. So presently, it is on property, part of a larger property owned by Kenneth and Judith Klank. It's been farmed by them for a long time now. The subdivider is Steve Stoller, his wife Paula. They live in also in Huron Township, a little ways to the east in the bottomlands area, closer to the river. This property currently used for agriculture, and then there's some timber areas there as well. They plan to continue using it for that purpose, possibly also for some like passive recreation. For the time being, long term, as a possible option, since they live fairly close to the river in the bottomland area, given having some higher ground in addition as another possible option for building later on. But for now, just looking to continue to the present use. There is basically only one logical way of entering the property, and that the entrance off of 220th Street, given the topography around there, and that will be continued as the sole entrance to the property. Apart from that, regarding the road entrance, there were no notable comments from any of the department heads that reviewed the subdivision. So we're satisfied. Then we ask you approve the Huron Bluff subdivision.
Move to approve.
Second.
Carrie?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Okay, now we have a resolution, final plat for the Julia Corner.
All right, this is a minor subdivision just outside the West Burlington city limits in Flint River Township. That's about a 3.41 acre property. It's currently just wooded land, and intended the same use moving forward. Basically, it is to attach it to a neighboring property that already has a single family home attached with it. Now, for department review, we've got all our sign-off sheets. I guess we did mention this earlier, it did not require any fencing waivers for this particular subdivision. And no significant comments back from staff on this, and we would recommend approval on this subdivision.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Request for suspension of taxes. Pursuant to the Iowa Code, section 4.7.9, this is
Department of Human Services.
Department of Human Services.
That,
what
those
you,
taxes will be paid when that property is either sold or if that individual becomes able to pay them in the future. So they're just being suspended. Not,
I'd be carefully exposed on those.
Yeah.
There's someplace
else. Yeah.
But motion to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. We will stamp these later. So we're not in HIPAA violation. We do have cameras in here. Farm lease agreement with Tom Rappenicker, the tenant for the Linder ground that conservation has purchased.
So this is just a continuation of the contract that he had with the Linder family. Part of our purchase agreement was that we would maintain the contract with him through the 18 cropping year. And so this is just our standard farm lease agreement that we're executing with the current.
This is through September 2018.
Yep. Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. We have personnel actions. We have three for the correction center. And do all three of them once, if you gentlemen don't mind. First one is Angela, I don't know how you pronounce that.
Schertz.
Schertz, okay. 6 month step increase for previous 35,681. And the new rate is 36,601. And that's a year. The second one is for Alexa Abney, correctional officer full time. Previous rate, promoted to full time. Previous rate was $12.10 an hour. Her new rate will be $35,681 a year. And the third one is Mary Hillier, correctional officer part time, 36 month step increase. Previous rate, $14.84 an hour. And the new rate is $17.54 an hour.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Bob Beck.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. My wife said that too. Says you can't hear that. Two up for conservation. And first one is Brandon Nelson, a summer intern naturalist. It'll be $10 an hour. And the second one is Kathleen Williams, day hire naturalist assistant. And new hire, day hire as needed, which is $11 an hour.
Move to approve. Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Thank you. Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. And then we have emergency management. We have one, and this is for Tom Colbert. It says, Eugene Harden, Des Moines County Emergency Management Coordinator and Des Moines County Emergency Management Commission Member. An opportunity has presented itself for me to work in my town of residence, and I am excited to take on the challenges it will bring. Now it is time for me to inform you that I have accepted new employment and I am giving you my 2 week notice. My last day of employment with Des Moines County will be Friday, May the 4th, 2018, due to my part-time status and work schedule. My last day in the office will be Wednesday, May the 2nd. During these last 9+ years, I've enjoyed the opportunity to serve Des Moines County and to help maintain its emergency management program. Thank you, respective of the years. Thomas Colbert, and I wish him well because he's really been an asset to the conservation department. He will be missed.
Move to approve. Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. We have reports on file for the recorders. Report April 2018. These will be on file in the auditor's office for your viewing at your discretion. We have the minutes for the meeting on May 1st, 2018.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Jerry?
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Is there any other business, gentlemen?
We had concerns with the control panel out of the jail. I think a solution to that presented itself. The legislature did not cut the backfill for fiscal 2019. And since we didn't include that in our budget, thinking that it would be imprudent to include maybe revenue, I took the liberty of speaking to bond counsel because we would normally pay for that expense out of the line of credit, and it's going to be right under vicinity of $100,000.
Around 120, 116.
Is it going to be something? Okay, anyway, we, the budget night director and I took a quick look of what we thought maybe would be coming in to the debt service. And we think it's going to be a little over $100,000, maybe $110,000. So, bond counsel said we can go ahead and use that line of credit. By using the line of credit, we could spend that earlier in the fiscal year and not have to wait for that to show up, because they'll pay the backfill at the same time you get the property tax receipts at the end of September and the end of March. And tells me that's not a problem, so I believe that might work out very well for us, and that's the way we would have funded it
September.
Anyway. What?
I might wait till September.
Well, we would not have to wait. I think we can address that when you need it. So, but I just want to bring that up that I spoke to bond counsel, and he said that's not a problem.
Should be, because that's going to be spendable money anyway.
Yeah. But as long as it goes into debt service, yeah. We have to be able to put it in a...
That's trouble when, you know, they go from January 1st to December 30th. They're in no hurry to get these backfills and this. And they do it after we have to have our budget in. They should be doing this top priority. That's why we didn't put this in our budget, because we didn't know for sure at the time we was going to get it.
Understood.
And then and the county got burnt before I was on the board. They got burnt. So anyway,
nope, anyway, but I thought that would be good news.
It is good news
that we can do that.
How about you, Bob? Any future agenda items?
I have one of note, maybe. Highway 61 Coalition is going to have a meeting on the
17th.
Anyway, which is probably not a great big deal, but the director, Commissioner Rose is going to be there, along with the Director Lowe will be there. So hopefully he's bringing great news. Continuing 61 structure, hopefully.
It looks like they've come a long way down. We took a ride Sunday and come up through there, and my wife hadn't really seen this. She was amazed.
You know, they have a lot of equipment.
Yeah.
It's a big outfit, like Ryan says. But they, there's also a meeting coming up in Wapello. I can't tell you the date of that. Public viewing, and they're...
I think that might be tonight, Bob.
Huh?
I think that might be tonight.
Tonight? I may not make that.
I'm not going to make it either, but I think I have it on my calendar that that's tonight. So I could be wrong, but...
That's public input.
That's a public input. That's a public session for people to come.
They will show the maps and...
I think they'll have maps. I think it's their final one, actually, and I think they'll be down to their preferred design and have maps, and I'm guessing they'll do a short presentation, and then it'll be a just a kind of a meet and greet and ask questions thing where people look at the maps. That's what I understand. I'm not in the middle of that one like we are down here.
Now that water loads is significant field. Yeah. They got to go through the swamps and or the wetland.
Yeah, that's clear up north. That's not in Des Moines County. That's up in Wyoming County.
That's right. And it crossed by Iowa River.
I don't know what the whole segment is. It might be the entire stretch from Newport up to the section that they just completed in Grandview. It might be that entire segment. I'm not sure.
I don't know either. But the chart I saw Director Lowe have in Des Moines was with the whole thing, the whole project complete. And,
they've got it out from beginning to end. They've got it in 12 years now or something like that.
But yeah, just to reiterate, so that meeting is tonight, 5 to 7 at the Briggs Center in Wapello.
So do you go to that, Zach?
I won't be there, but possibly some of our other staff will be there.
Probably.
Yeah, probably Jared. Gotcha. I'll be coaching Little League this evening. Good for you.
I get it. This time of the year, we have a junior living with us, granddaughter. Our regular grandma and grandpa schedule is not quite the same. Interesting. I understand why young people have kids.
Sure. We'll have you being recliner smooth.
Yeah. More nap time.
Not fooling anybody. Talk about future agenda items. We're going to have to set a date for these UTVs. We'll talk about that and see what we want to do. Maybe in a couple weeks.
Before you say we're what?
Set a date and have another work station on them UTVs.
Oh,
and,
oh,
and get
yeah.
something put together on that.
Yeah. I know the sheriff's been working on it.
Yeah. I can't believe the support that I'm getting around, you know, when I talk to people, support for it. So, sorry, Mr. Carter, they want to get on your road, so.
Yeah, I think, and I don't really have a big problem with it, if long as they're, you know, I don't see four-wheelers out there to find old ATVs that they, that damage, and they're the ones going to be in the now the ditches. They're going to take those side-by-sides in now ditches. Scare away all the pheasants.
Might want to check with the sheriff and the county attorney and see what day they're both available.
Yeah.
I haven't had time to go through those ordinances. If it was at least a couple weeks, that'd be kind of nice. They've been on my desk, I just haven't gotten to them.
What do you have time to do?
Just started up this week.
Committee reports.
On the state subcommittees for the administrative rules for the new core services that the legislature gave to mental health and disability services. That's pretty dry.
We all took a conservation tour last week. It was quite interesting, I thought. In Lender property and Highway 61, the state mitigation has gave the conservation more work, gave the public more hunting areas, I guess, down by Electric Creek. Very interesting. Had a conservation meeting versus here.
Was a good tour, Chris. Nice to keep yourself up to date on that stuff.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Public input station number 2. Anybody from public have anything to say? Please rise. See nobody rise. She'll move for a turn.
I would say to the press that if they had a chance, Chris would take them out and give them a tour if they were interested. It's kind of amazing how much he's got going on out there.
Yeah.
Make them ride in the back of that bus, right over the axle.
I take it that wasn't a comfortable position.
I didn't sit there.
Oh, okay.
I could see the bouncing going on back there.
Tom had a spot up in the priority section.
Is this a revenge thing or something?
He set the seat up there and had priority seating.
I was the first one in.
One quick question. This has nothing to do with the county or anything. How was your airplane ride, Tanner?
Great. David was on too.
Mm-hmm. You too was on too. Mm-hmm. Well, that was nice.
It was a lot of fun.
I wrote you an email. I had a friend. I used to have a friend that was a pilot on one of those B-17s in Europe, and he very seldom talked about, you know, his experiences. But he told me one time that when they leave England, of course they had numerous air bases, so all those planes would get together and they'd go as far, you know, as the fighter coverage would get them before they'd have to break up, and they'd go to different targets, and they'd be German fighters would be up in the air. But anyway, he said when they brought all those, there'd be hundreds and hundreds of these B-17s, and he knew a couple people in the infantry, and he said it was like cloudy. He said, you know, he said they just blocked out the sun when they took the whole entire, all the sorties that were going that day through there. You should give you life. So I've got.
Okay.
Aye.
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 We are adjourned.